The Lord be with you.
Also with you.
If you'd like to be seated. I'd like to say good morning and a very warm welcome to everyone to our service of parish communion this morning. And on your way in, hopefully you'll have seen the notices for the week that is to come. I just wanted to mention one or two things that don't happen every week. Today is the Sunday before Lent, so Wednesday marks the beginning of Lent with Ash Wednesday. And on Ash Wednesday, we will have our service of Holy Communion with prayers for those who are sick to mark the beginning of Lent. And then every Thursday during the season of Lent, beginning this Thursday, we're going to be having midweek Lenten services at 7:30 every Thursday evening during Lent. And this coming Lent, we're focusing on the discipline, really, of Bible reading. And we're going to be looking at a method about how to hear God when we read the Bible. And that's what we're going to be focused on throughout the season of Lent. And those services, short services, each Thursday evening at 7:30. On Wednesday afternoon this week, which is Ash Wednesday, the Ladies' Afternoon Friendship Group are meeting. All ladies are welcome, and this week they are looking forward to a very interesting guest who's going to share her adoption story. That's on Wednesday afternoon at 2:00. This coming Saturday, we're having our monthly work party, which takes place between 9 and 11 when we try to tidy up around the grounds. And if you can come and you can help in that way, we'd be delighted of your assistance. That's on Saturday between 9 and 11. Also, to remind people that after our service today, there's going to be a cup of tea and coffee after church. If you'd like to come down, you'd be really welcome to the church hall. We're always delighted to see people getting together. And next Sunday, the 26th, we're hoping to have a special soup lunch to mark the first Sunday in Lent. And the proceeds from that soup lunch are going to the Earthquake Relief Fund through the Bishop's Appeal to assist those who've been affected so terribly in Syria and Turkey. And if you'd like to come to that lunch, if you could give your name to the church wardens, that'd be really helpful just as we try to gauge numbers for that lunch. This is the time of year when we annually renew our register of vestry persons. So if you are not registered in any other church and you'd like to be a member here, do please collect one of the forms from the church wardens and fill them in so we can renew our register at our select vestry meeting on Tuesday evening. We're going to sing together our opening hymn, hymn 102, Name of All Majesty.
Thank you.
Our service this morning is the service of Holy Communion. And we pray together, Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear what our Lord Jesus Christ says. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. Lord, have mercy on us, and write these, your laws, in our hearts. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to intercede for us in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. Let us then confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned in thought and word and deed, and in what we have left undone. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may walk in newness of life to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And we respond to God's forgiveness in the words of Gloria in Excelsis. We stand. Glory to God in the highest. Glory to God in the highest. And peace to God's people on earth. Lord God, Heavenly King, Almighty God and Father, we worship you, we give you thanks, we praise you for your glory. Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, Lord God, Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world, have mercy on us. You are seated at the right hand of the Father, receive our prayer. For you alone are the Holy One, you alone are the Lord, you alone are the Most High, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in the glory of God the Father. Amen. Our special collect prayer for today, the Sunday before Lent. Almighty Father, whose Son was revealed in majesty before he suffered death upon the cross, give us grace to perceive his glory, that we may be strengthened to suffer with him and be changed into his likeness from glory to glory, who is alive and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Our Old Testament reading comes from the book of Exodus, chapter 24, and starting at verse 12. The Lord said to Moses, "Come up to me on the mountain and stay here. I will give you the tablets of stone with the law and commands I have written for their instruction." Then Moses set out with Joshua, his assistant, and Moses went up on the mountain of God. He said to the elders, "Wait here for us until we come back to you. Aaron and Hur are with you, and anyone involved in a dispute can go to them." When Moses went up on the mountain, the cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord settled on Mount Sinai. For 6 days the cloud covered the mountain, and on the seventh day the Lord called to Moses from within the cloud. To the Israelites, the glory of the Lord looked like a consuming fire on top of the mountain. Then Moses entered the cloud as he went up onto the mountain, and he stayed on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. This is the word of the Lord. Hear the gospel of our Lord according to St. Matthew, reading in chapter 17 and starting at verse 1.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. Just then there appeared before them Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, a bright cloud enveloped them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." And when the disciples heard this, they fell face down to the ground, terrified. But Jesus came and touched them. "Get up," he said. "Don't be afraid." When they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus instructed them, "Don't tell anyone what you have seen until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
During the singing of our next hymn, the children and young people will leave for Sunday school. But before we sing that hymn, we're going to proclaim together our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God.
We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
During the singing of this hymn, which we will sing through twice, the children and their teachers will make their way to Sunday school, and we wish them well as they go out this morning. We sing hymn 276, Majesty, Worship His Majesty.
Thank you.
Heavenly Father, turn our eyes to you. Turn our eyes to your Son, our Lord Jesus. And Holy Spirit, open our ears so we can listen. Amen. When people from the front say things like listen or use words like truth, it's always good to check it out when you get home. Read the reading for yourself again. Have a think through it yourself, because you never know. I might be talking absolute nonsense. It's been done before. But when we come together in worship and when we come together to hear God's word, we do it understanding that we're humans and we make mistakes. So I just wanted to throw that out there. When you hear words like listen and truth, they're good words, but also read things through yourself. Especially because today we're reading and speaking about the Transfiguration. That was the time when Jesus took three of his disciples up to the mountaintop, and that very strange meeting happened between Jesus and Moses and Elijah. The Transfiguration of Jesus on the mountain is a strange story, and I often find it hard to get my head around. It seems to be a standalone holy event that doesn't really do anything other than draw attention to the holiness of Jesus, which I suppose is no bad thing. But I wondered if we could take a wee step back and look at it through Peter's eyes, one of the guys who went up with Jesus, and see if this will help us to get a bit of another angle on it, a different handle on it. Now, to do this, we need to go back in time a bit to events that happened some days before the Transfiguration. Jesus, Peter, and others had been traveling around with Jesus' ministry, and they were in a place called Caesarea. This was regarded as a very mystical place by the locals. And in Caesarea, there was a very famous cave, and it's still there, I'm told. And the Romans said that this cave was the gateway to hell itself. It was a place where a lot of pagan worship took place. I don't think Jews would have been the most comfortable people there. And it was in this place that God opened Peter's eyes, and he said to Jesus, "You are the Messiah. You are the chosen one of God. You are the one that's going to bring all things to fulfillment, make all things right." And to this, Jesus responded, "You're right. And on these words that are so true, my kingdom will be built, and hell itself won't be able to stand against it." This was a good day for Peter. This was a day he would remember, a moment of validation, a moment of excitement, a big day in his walk with Christ. Almost straight away, though, Jesus' teaching started to change. Jesus started speaking about what it would mean for him to be the Messiah. He would win over, yes. But to do so, he would have to suffer and die. And Peter, the one whose eyes had been opened by God, was having none of it. Emboldened, he takes Jesus to one side and he says, "This can't happen, Jesus. Suffering is not the way to do it." Jesus turns to him and says, "Satan, shut your mouth." Peter must have been stunned. One day things are going so well, and he feels he's starting to get the hang of things at last. And then Jesus is accusing him of using the words of a tempter, a Satan, no less. He must have been reeling. Jesus then doubles down on his teaching over the next few days, and he says, "If you want to be with me, if you really want to be my disciple, you have to take up your cross and follow me." On the one hand, Jesus had not been crucified yet, and so we need to remember that the cross wasn't automatically associated with Jesus. That wasn't his yet. But Peter would have been no stranger to what the cross was. In his youth, he would have heard about the mass crucifixion of around 2,000 people in the area of Judea. These were so-called dissenters, basically anyone who disagreed with what the Romans were doing. The what we call scourging, the hideous beating, and the hanging of dissenters on the cross was so common that there were periods where the Romans ran out of wood and even put more than one person on a cross at a time. It truly was the stuff of nightmares. And Jesus was using this language, the language of the cross, and he was making it a part of his message and a part of discipleship. Peter must have been confused and scared. I would have been confused and terrified. He loved Jesus. He adored him, and he wanted to go the distance. But surely this was too much to ask. Surely Jesus was missing something. Or maybe Peter himself was missing something. Peter grew up as a Jew, hearing the stories of Moses, the friend of God, telling of a great prophet to come. Moses said, there's going to be someone coming, someone special from God who will come. He would have heard the story of Moses who got so close to God that his face began to shine. He would have heard stories of Elijah and other prophets meeting God on mountaintops. And these prophets, like Elijah, would have been foretelling the coming of the one who would gather all of God's people and the world together under him. Peter had been sure that Jesus was the one. Even Jesus himself was saying that one day some of you are going to see me come in glory. He said the Son of Man come in glory. But people would have been beginning to understand he was speaking about himself. So Jesus was the Messiah, wasn't he? I think that's what Peter would have been thinking. Not long after this, Jesus asks his closest friends, James, John, and of course Peter, to come up with him, up the mountain to spend some time together. And here, Peter saw the loose ends come together. Jesus meets Moses and Elijah. And in this strange, supernatural moment, these great figures bear witness to the fact that this Jesus, whose face and clothes were now shining, is the one that they spoke about, is the one that was to come. This was Jesus coming in glory in front of Peter's eyes. Now, Bible stories have a great way of understating things. You'll read in the gospel things like, and Jesus walked on water. And it seems to use the same tone as, I'm going to have a cup of tea. You know, there's that very understated nature of the language in the Bible. It's not playing things down. It's just literally the style of the writing. But it can sometimes mean we miss the emotions behind the event. This moment on the mountaintop for Peter was mind-blowing. Peter's stunned response was, let's make a tent for you and for Elijah and for Moses. When Mark, the writer of Mark's gospel, writes about this, he's a bit more blunt. He says that Peter was basically babbling because he didn't know what else to say. Then Peter and the others hear God the Father himself say, this is my son, whom I love, listen to him. James, Peter, and John fall down, terrified. It's too much. They're done. Peter will look back on this event as a time when doubt and confusion, for the moment, was dissolved. Was Jesus the one? Yes, he was. Moses, the prophets, God himself was witness to this fact. A lot was going to be asked of Peter in his life, and he needed this moment. This event was a major part of his formation as a human being devoted to God. Now, after the transfiguration, suffering still scared Peter. Doubts did re-emerge. He ran when it was Jesus' time to be taken. And later still, Peter struggled with some aspects of the gospel when he started to get criticized by those who were part of his tradition. That was something that Peter struggled with. But when Jesus called him way back at the start, Jesus knew that these would be Peter's struggles and that these struggles wouldn't go away. But he called him anyway, and he said, "Peter, I'm calling you the rock, and the words you say are going to carry." The church writers who lived not long after Peter, around 100 AD and onwards, say that Peter himself was crucified in Rome. Whatever his struggles, Peter lived and died as a follower of Christ. He knew he was an imperfect man who in some ways just longed for the quiet life, and he longed for the controversies just to pass him by. But he knew he loved his Lord, and in the end, he let the outworking of his faith lead him where he didn't necessarily want to go. Now, did Peter have to die in this way to be a disciple? I'm going to say no. But tradition says that of all the disciples, John was the only one to live to an old age. So there was something about being a disciple that attracted trouble. Do we have to die or be tormented in some awful way to be a disciple of Jesus? Again, I'm going to say, I think no. But, and in my old days as a primary school teacher, I'd say, and this is a big but. They used to laugh at that. You don't need to. If everyone everywhere thinks well of us and thinks good of us all the time, it means that the outliving of our lives, the outliving of the gospel within us, is a challenge to nobody, nowhere. And that doesn't sound like the way of Peter. And that doesn't sound like the way of Jesus. Like Peter, God may ask a lot of us if we're open to his call. But where he calls, he provides. One of the ways he provides is with his presence. We probably won't witness an event like the Transfiguration. That was for Peter, James, and John. That was for them. But we can still meet him in a way that is right for us, and God knows what that way is. And it will be in a way that restores us and strengthens us. Communion is part of that. And as we go forward in a few moments and take communion together with God and with one another, that can be part of our restoration. So let us be open to God, his presence, and his call today and over the coming season of Lent. But as we come to a close here, there's something that has to be said, I suppose, if we're going to be realistic. Some weeks ago, someone shared with me, and it was a great privilege to hear it. They shared with me that they prayed every day, they spoke to God every day, but they felt far from God. They felt that he was far from them. And this does happen. And just because we say moments like the Transfiguration, or we will have restorative moments with God, just because we say that, it's not like an incantation. It doesn't mean that it's just going to happen that way. Sometimes God's timing is not our timing, and it can be tiring and draining. So while there's not enough time to unpack this fully just now, if this is you, can I suggest that you do what my friend did? Don't stop reaching out to God, but also don't feel you have to go it alone. Find someone here. Find someone at the front to talk to and share things with us. And not hearing God isn't a sign of a lack of faith. It's just something that we can talk about and we can pray through and support one another through. That's why we're here, all of us in this room. So with these things in mind, let's take a moment to bring ourselves to God in prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you. We come to your Son. And Holy Spirit, we ask you to be with us now. You met your disciples on the mountaintop, and it gave them encouragement and strength, and it showed them who you were and who your Son was. Lord Jesus, be with us in our quiet moments. You know us better than anyone. And where we need encouragement and where we need built up, come to us. And we ask that you will do this, especially in the moments of communion to come. But Heavenly Father, there will be people here who long to meet with you, but feel that you're far away. We don't know why. We don't know what you're thinking, and we can't. But Heavenly Father, allow us to carry one another in prayer and in love. Allow us to share with one another. And allow us to rely on your faithfulness, which is so much stronger than ours. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, on this Sunday of Transfiguration, we behold the mystery of your love. Lord, it's good for us to come into your presence. Quieten our hearts and mouths as a church so that we may hear you better. Inspire us with the vision of your beloved Son. Lord, on the mountain, Moses waited for your commandments. Raise up voices to give sound wisdom and counsel to local leaders and leaders of the world, especially in times of tragedy, like earthquakes that we've been watching on the news and we don't know what to do, like the ongoing, seemingly never-ending war in Ukraine. Open our minds and our mouths so that we can speak your truths. Direct our nation and every nation in the path of peace with justice. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, your Son took Peter, James, and John to witness the revelation of your love. Fill our hearts with rejoicing and humble thanksgiving. Bring us together with friends and strangers and unite us in the household of your kingdom, now and in the future. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, you bring light to places in darkness and hope to all who despair. Be with all of those whose journey is hard and unending. Be especially close to those who feel the need of you but find you hard to see. And from the heights of the mountain, refresh and renew our spirits. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, we bring to you those who are in difficulty and danger just now. We bring to you those dealing with poor mental health and going through frightening thoughts and dangerous thoughts in their head. And we pray for those who care for them. We pray for those who live with difference and live with needs, physical needs, or needs in their minds that set them apart from others. Come close to them, because nobody knows what it's like to be set apart more than you. And Heavenly Father, be with those who are sick, those who are lonely, and make us your hands and your mouths and your carers. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, hope springs eternal with you. Receive with your transforming love our prayers and those who we pray for, and may the brightness radiating from your presence be our refuge. And we pray these things believing that you are listening and believing that you are the God who answers our prayer. And we draw our prayers together using the words of the prayer your Son taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
We do not presume. We do not presume to come to this your table, merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table, but you are the same Lord, whose nature is always to have mercy. Grant us, therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, and that we may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. Amen. Jesus said, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. The peace of the Lord be always with you." And we're going to join together to sing our next hymn, hymn 195, "Lord, the light of your love is shining."
Jesus, light of the world, shine upon us. Set us
Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us celebrate the feast. The Lord is here.
His Spirit is with us.
Lift up your hearts.
Lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Father, Lord of all creation, we praise you for your goodness and your love. When we turned away, you did not reject us. You came to meet us in your Son, welcomed us as your children, and prepared a table where we might feast with you. In Christ, you shared our life, that we might live in him and he in us. He opened wide his arms upon the cross, and with love stronger than death, he made the perfect sacrifice for sin. Lord Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, on the night before you died, you came to table with your friends. Taking bread, you gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Lord Jesus, we bless you. You are the bread of life. At the end of supper, you took the cup of wine, gave thanks and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Lord Jesus, we bless you. You are the true vine. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Dying, you destroyed our death. Rising, you restored our life. Lord Jesus, come in glory. Holy Spirit, giver of life, come upon us now. May this bread and wine be to us the body and blood of our Savior Jesus Christ. As we eat and drink these holy gifts, make us, who know our need of grace, one in Christ, our risen Lord. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, blessed Trinity, with your whole church throughout the world, we offer you this sacrifice of thanks and praise, and lift our voice to join the song of heaven, forever praising you and saying, "Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest." Thanks be to you, our God, for your gift beyond words. Amen. 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 The bread which we break is a sharing in the body of Christ.
We being many are one body, for we all share in the one bread.
Draw near and receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood which he shed for you. Remember that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving.
Holy God, we see your glory in the face of Jesus Christ. May we who are partakers at his table reflect his life in word and deed, that all the world may know his power to change and save. This we ask through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And we pray together, Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food of the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always. Thank you for sharing in our service with us this morning, and thank you too to those who've been joining us online. It's been good to worship together this morning. And just a reminder that on Friday afternoon this week, between 3:30 and 5:00, Messy Church is taking place over in the hall. So if you've got children or grandchildren, you'd like to bring them along, they'll be most welcome between 3:30 and 5:00 on Friday afternoon. We're going to close our service this morning as we sing together hymn 118, Behold the Mountain of the Lord.